lot of the sours are lower in ABV. I'm not saying all of them. I can't see the number.
Oh, no, I was just showing it's from Charleston, Edmonds Oast.
Oh, okay.
Sour apple.
Okay, yeah.
6.5, actually.
Yeah, and I have a Berliner Weiss right now, and it's 6.8, so this is a little more heavy duty. But on the whole, sours tend to—that's kind of, both of those are kind of high for sours.
Yeah, well, that's what Edmonds does, so they had a 10%er one time. Ooh. And it was awesome. And I'm like, nope. I said, nope. I'll stick to the one. And of course, they're only half fours or whatever.
But yeah, oh.
They make awesome. Like, if you ever get down to Charleston, you have to go there. Their sour collection is fucking ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Oh. Well, I think they're finally allowing people to sit inside now.
Oh.
That was brutal over the summer. I mean, they had fans and all that, but Charleston humidity in July, and you have to sit outside. I mean, it killed us. Oh yeah, another good one. How was it? Lo-fi. Was it Lo-fi? They had a sour program, but you had to sit inside. They don't have air conditioning. You know those giant industrial fans that are as tall as you are?
Yeah.
They have like 10 of those. That doesn't help. It doesn't help at all. So.
Oh, yeah. That does not sound fun.
I could barely get through it.
Yeah.
I just asked for the thing. The Charleston beer scene's really good. There's another place, Revelry the Hold. It's like the bottom of some basement that was abandoned, and that's all they have of their sour programs. And like their I don't think they have mead down there. What else am I thinking of? Oh, barley wine. That barley wine and sours in there. And I'm not sure how sour you like your sours. If you want to suck your cheeks in so they touch, they got something like that. And it's just incredible. I love it. I love those.
Yeah,
he hates every single one. So
I'm still pretty wide variety. Like, because even though I don't like the pales every now or the blondes, every now and again I'll still sneak one in.
Yeah, I always try them. Snafu was the name of the place, right?
But
I
yeah,
always try them. Like even stouts, I still don't like stouts.
Oh. Yeah.
Orders, no. But I'll try them. So.
I'm ready to, because I got a Royal Tannenbaum from Homestead this past weekend, specifically for Christmas. It's half Imperial Stout, half Christmas Ale.
Oh, wow.
So
how's that work?
I really liked it last year. I don't know. It kind of gives it, like a black and tan with, you know, like all of the usual holiday spices kind of vibe, you know. It's kind of like a, because it doesn't give you pumpkin-y, well, yeah, I mean, pumpkin flavor is a lot of holiday spice too, like, because there's a lot of nutmeg, a lot of clove, a lot of ginger. So, yeah. Oh,
clove and ginger sounds good. I like those in beers. I love the spice. Like, this is the time of year for the spiced ales or the winter ales. Always have spices in them.
Oh yeah.
But we haven't been going out too much. So
yeah. Well, I was thinking the other day. I'm like, because pretty much everyone in town killed flights.
Oh, really?
To cut down on glass usage and whatnot. So you've got to get a full beer, and that's something I'm not used to doing a whole lot. It's definitely been a different experience. Like, that's the one thing that hit me the other day. I'm like, man, I really miss, because that's the way I honestly kind of prefer to drink. It's just like, yeah, just give me a flight, and then maybe I'll snag a full beer later, or we just move to another brewery.
Yeah. So whenever we go to a place for the first time, I'm always get a flight. And down here, some did get rid of them. Everyone's got them again. But a lot of other places still do plastic. But even then, we've noticed that now they're going to glass again. So,
oh.
I don't know if they, well, the last time we were out, like, we went to Salud to get a bottle for Todd and Becca. We're trying to find, they're a bottle shop, like, I think they're ranked the number one beer shop in the U.S. this year.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and, oh, they, dude, they get stuff that's off the chart. But then when we were there, they had Shiner Cheer. I don't know if you've ever tried that.
Oh, yeah, I have.
Dude, that stuff is so good. And we missed last year's. We can't find it in the stores, but they had it on tap. So I looked at her, and I was like, they got Shiner Cheer on tap. She goes, just one? I'm like, yeah, because we're not passing it up. We were the only people in there, luckily, so we were just sitting there. And then I go, I look at her, and the guy's like, oh, do you want to keep the tab open? I was like, no. Because this is how we go out for one thing, and we get home at 11 o'clock. So no. And we ended up going to Red Clay because they released it on one of their Crumble series. And that was it. That's been like the majority of us. That's been the most we've gone out since we started feeling better. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, because we went out to pick up some beer. Yeah, we just did a beer run this weekend. Because the one place, Dank House, is about 40 minutes east here. They have great beer, but everyone's delivering now, but you've got to buy a case. And I'm just like, I don't go through beer. I don't go through beer this quick, guys. So that means I need to come to you to pick up my beverages. And it was nice because they were just doing crowlers and they were just doing crowlers, whether half or full size. So it was nice to get to 16 ounces to just be able to have a beer of theirs to drink. So that was pretty nice because I tried which one did I try the other day? The pineapple blunt cake. It was a sour ale with pineapple.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yeah, it was really good. I don't have it in front of me to remember exactly what was in it, but it kind of tastes like a pineapple upside down cake. Because I know it has some type of white cake in it. That one was really that was really good. And now I have, because the other one I got from them was their double IPA.
I'm slowly starting to come around on those. I as much as I love IPAs, I just didn't like doubles. And I've noticed lately that, I don't know if they changed, if some places changed how they make them or what they're doing, but they're slowly, and that's the shitty part is high ABV again.
Oh.
So it's like, I'm going the wrong way. You know? I'm on the mountain, so hey, we got to head down the mountain. I'm like, all right, I'll see you guys. I got to go to the top row quick. And just keep going. Like, God damn it.
Yeah, I can't remember what the ABV is on that bad boy, but I remember it being pretty high. I'm like, oh, man, it's 16 ounces. That one's going to be a head slapper. Because there is one, Key Bump from Hoof Hearted was there. Oh, I think that's a triple IPA, actually. But that was 11.7, I think. It was in the 12 territory. You know, it was in that range. It might have been a little bit higher than that. But I just, I had one of those. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing okay. Like, I can slow down now.
The first stout, I think it was a stout or a porter, one or two. It was a bourbon barrel-aged one, of course. Right off the bat, it's just gone from a nice, reasonable 4.0 to 5.2, 12.9%. But I can't. Is it caramel? Something and vanilla and something. That shit was so good. I mean, at least like you like this. I'm like, of course I like this because it's 13%. Of course, of all the stouts I'm gonna drink, I'm gonna like this one. Like, so we split one and then we hurried home. And then the next time we were out, I had that and one other, and then we were like, all right, let's go to Red Clay. So.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of funny. Everyone made a big deal out of, I think, because Michigan and Pennsylvania had no, or a higher limit on ABV for beers. Ohio, fairly recently, within the last couple of years, because I know that we were coming back from a trip, we stopped in at Zaftig here in town. Because they did an Imperial Stout that was 18 or 19%.
That's so silly. Stouts are not supposed to be that hot.
All of their beers are like, I think their floor is about 6% or something in that area. Like, they're like, no. If you come here, we're going to get you hammered, is their slogan, essentially. big, full-bodied beers is what they call them, I believe. There's not a whole lot of hiding from high ABVs when you go there. But, yeah, they were one of the everyone's like, oh, great, there's no cap on ABV now. And they did like an 18%er, and like no one's really gone back to that well all that much since then. Like, I've seen the 12s and maybe the occasional 13 or something like that. But I still haven't seen people really going buck wild with the higher ABV limit is a general whole. Maybe the conditions of what has happened this year has limited that. I don't know.
I think that's what a lot of the breweries around here are like. People are just buying our shit and taking it home. Here's a 74%. Like, why? Why? You would never sell this in your place. But everything's back. I mean, all the breweries have been open for a while, so, boy, they're taking advantage of it, too. Just a lot of places are pumping out new stuff that I guess they were going to do, but...
Yeah, well, and it does seem like everyone around here, like, everyone's like, oh, shit, we need to get a better shipping deal. And I think pretty much everyone ships around the state now on some level. So I would imagine that has helped offset some of the sales. Because, I mean, everyone's just saying that, obviously, with less in-person, sales have been down. But I wonder if that's or how much revenue has helped kind of the distribution has helped.
Yeah. Hey, we're not recording this, are we?
Oh yeah. I hit record about 15 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, good, because I was about to say something I shouldn't say then. So I'll tell you when we're done.
So. Yeah, I figured I'm like, you know what? Chris and I tried to avoid wrestling the last couple of weeks. I'm like, fuck it. If we just do a beer show,
I have no problem with that.
I would not be terribly upset. So I'm like, let's just record it. Fuck it.
Yeah. Okay,
so
yeah.
Stunt Granny Audio 618, possibly the beer episode. Like, because this is one thing. Like, normally, I would have tried to get a list out of some people this time of the year, but I'm trying to figure out if I'm still going to probably do a Columbus beer list at some point. But it's definitely one of those things where I'm like, man, I know that I've cut back on consumption just in general. So, but one thing that I'm not upset about, and it was something that we kind of had planned before the pandemic took over. And, that was just like, there was the Columbus Ale Trail that has you go to like all the breweries and you get a stamp. And most, a lot of the breweries have been on for a number of years. So at some point, you kind of get a feel for them. And there were just some places that just were not good. I'm not going to name them because that's a dick move. But, you know, it's just going to be a, you know, there are going to be some omissions. Some of them are not warranted. Some of them, I just haven't found a good time to head to that part of town to pick up beverages. Some people, I think, do a better job of being on Instagram, honestly, and it's definitely something that, for me, I'm like, oh, that's what they're doing this week? Then I should go there, like, because that's what I did with Dankhouse, even though it's 40 minutes away, I'm just like, ah, man, I love their, like, the first time I went there, I loved their beers, and it hasn't steered me wrong every time, and I usually go there once or twice a year, so, I mean, it's not like I head out there a lot, but, like, every time they've been hitting home runs that I've gone out there, and it's just like, man, I should head out there more, and they are on Instagram pretty regularly, especially during this whole thing, and it's just like, dang, man, I'm gonna come get your beer. Like, that sounds tasty. There are other places that I know that are probably as good as them, but I haven't seen posts, and that's the other problem, is like, it's kind of an out of sight, out of mind. Like, there are 40 some odd breweries in town, and I would still say, like, even if I'm cutting out breweries, there's probably still, like, it maybe high 20s, low 30s, like, have quality beer. You know, I would say about 3/4 of them have quality beer. Now, some, obviously, I still think that there are some distinctions to be had within that 30. But there are still a lot of places that make good beer, in my opinion, and it's still kind of like, when you cut down on consumption, it's hard to get to all of them. So that's part of my problem too. Like, part of them I cut out on purpose. Some of the others, it's just like, yeah, like I said, sometimes they're just located in parts of town that aren't convenient for me. Like, a lot of times I'm like, oh, well, we can go do, like, when Ken and I would go frisbee golf, it'd be like, oh, great, we're going out there. I can pick up beer here. You know,
We used to run into a problem where we'd go to a restaurant, or we'd try to go to a restaurant, and we would base it off of their draft list. Or what they had in bottles, what's on tap. So there are so many restaurants we've never been to, because their beer list is shit. And eventually, we both went, no, we could just go and not have a beer. You're like, yes. I mean, that's kind of silly, right? Like, I don't know. I don't know when food became secondary to the beer or something, but that's what it did. And like, some places obviously we still go, but yeah, if you got a shit beer list, no. But it's funny when you said that. Like, there are certain breweries we just go to. One, they're our friends.
Oh,
legit friends.
Yeah.
Two, we just like the place, and people know us, which is another fun thing. You know, at first, I really hated it. But we went to those Lenny Boys a while ago, and one bartender. Do you call them beer tenders or bartenders?
Bartender. I didn't. Are people trying to play up beer tender now?
Yes, and it's so stupid. Like, it's a bartender. Well, there's no alcohol. What is this? It's a bar. Shut up.
Yeah, like, they can... Well, most of the breweries around here at least have a limited cocktail bar. There aren't a whole lot of places that are...
Yeah, a lot of them are doing that now, too. That, and they'll have some wine as well.
Yeah, so, yeah, they're not just serving beer. So to me, even at the craft breweries, like, they're not just serving beers. And there are a couple of places that make some damn good cocktails.
not to get off the beer stuff, but so we actually went to get a bottle of bourbon for my dad because he likes bourbon. And we have a local place, Doc Porter's here. Long story short, probably not going to be able to find it anymore. So this is how illiterate – is illiterate the right word? I don't know. How illiterate I am when it comes to alcohol. What did we drink in college? Jaeger?
Yep.
That's it, right?
I remember I don't know. Did you drink the Goldschlager or was that Carl? Okay,
I was going to say that. No, that was me. All right.
Okay.
I was going to say that, but I couldn't remember if.
Yeah, I was not a fan of the Goldschlager, but I do remember having it with you one evening pretty early on, freshman or sophomore year.
I think that was the night I almost got hit by a car. I was so drunk, I was walking, and Carl had to pull me back out of the street. Yeah. Smart. Anyways, that's it.
Oh.
Oh, no, I remember I had an Amaretto Sour Kick because they were sour, so of course I liked them. Outside of that, I didn't know Amaretto was an alcohol. I just thought that was the name of it. I know there's vodka. I know there's whiskey. I know there's I know these things exist. I have no fucking clue what they are. I know gin now. I drink gin. And it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Vodka, I'm Polish, so of course I know what vodka is. But after that, I don't know what to do with this stuff. Put it in a little glass. We throw it back. I don't remember. I apologize. We go on to the next day. That's easy. I don't like getting out. Well, this is age. I'm like, shit, get out of here. Just give me a fucking shot. Shut up.
Yeah, it wasn't sexy. I think I got into the alcohol immediately because Ron, for whatever reason, thought, hey, he's not gonna like beer. Like, the first time I went up for a Pitt Penn State game was the first time I drank. And he ended up giving me a Tom Collins, which is gin, 7-Up, and some confectioner's sugar, basically.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And I'm like, why did he think to give that to me? But that was one of those things where a lot of people are like, oh, I don't like gin. And I'm like, I guess always because of that, I always liked gin. And he usually ended up feeding me liquor because before we went to the Metallica concert, I had a little too much tequila. So that was one that I was familiar with. He definitely got me into the Jägermeister thing.
By proxy, me.
Yeah, I've only had Jägermeister on the very rare occasions recently. I still like it when I have it.
Yeah, I do too, but I don't like what it does in my head. I know you're supposed to stop after like one shot, not five, but still, it's like it's an immediate. I feel funny half the time. At least this is how it used to be. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. Like, no. And then they came out, some psycho, like, hey, do you like not remember what you're doing, but you want to do it with a high amount of energy? Let's mix it with Red Bull.
Oh,
that is nuts to me that you're hyper and you don't know what you're doing. Like, I'm sure maybe nobody else has this reaction. That's what it does.
I stopped, like, because that was, yeah, right getting towards when ex-wife became ex-wife. And that kind of craze hit. And I just remember, like, my heart just racing after I do one of those. And I'm like, oh my God, like, I've got to stop. This is terrible. Like, as much Jägermeister as I drank, like, it wasn't one where I'm like, I need to stop. But I do think that is basically where I slowed down on my Jägermeister consumption by quite a bit. Was when that. Because it does taste like Smarties. For the Red Bull and the Jäger. I do remember them tasting like the chalk candy Smarties.
So are cocktails for pussies then?
No.
All right. If you ever watch a movie or TV show, people are drinking, like, they just pour a whole glass of scotch or something, throw a few rocks in there, and they're drinking it straight. And it's like, was that like somebody wanted to have the effects but just couldn't handle the taste? So they decided, let's mix it with 7-Up and whatever else.
A lot of that stuff is just supposed to be drank slow. Well, A, most of it's supposed to be drank slowly, especially if it's a scotch or an old whiskey. Which is hilarious. That's one of the hilarious things about the TV shows. They're like, oh, I'm going to take this expensive whiskey, and they basically shotgun the entire bottle. And I'm like... most whiskey drink, like proper whiskey drinkers, would just be horrified that they're killing a nice bottle that quickly, like, and not
that's
like
what my one friend, he hides all his good stuff when his parents come over, because his dad one year was drinking like a 16-year-old aged scotch or something, like it was nothing, and he's like, "What are you doing?" Like, oh my god, you drank almost the whole thing. He's like, doesn't even enjoy it. Real quick, as an aside, if you want to turn you don't need any sound or dialogue for this. It's the end of Home Alone 2, which is utter violence. This was crazy when I was younger and watched it. As an adult, knowing what all this stuff really would do to you, this is just, it's awesome. It's basically the Three Stooges. He's hitting them with bricks.
Oh my!
Cast iron pieces of metal, like, or cast iron pieces of plumbing. Like, this is crazy. I love every second of this movie. Anyways. But yeah, no, like the hard alcohol stuff, I'm so lost on.
Yeah, I've
never had it. Blah blah blah. I'm like, no.
I've had just enough training on alcohol to be dangerous, because that was one of the few fun things. But I know that I don't need to do it on a cruise. But we did a rum tasting on a cruise, and that was a blast. I did like rum because that was the. Because, again, going back to Ron and keeping me away from beer when I was first drinking, rum and coke was another one that he gave me. And it was Bacardi, spiced rum, I first started drinking. So that's another one where I got into the liquors kind of early, and then, yeah, obviously college, the beer drinking kind of ended up taking over at some point, even though, but you know, that was another one where I'm not surprised that I like the craft beers now, because I always remember trying to get people to go up and buy Molson Triple X for me. Canada quite frequently. Hey, you going to Detroit? Oh, you going across the bridge? Can you give me some beer?
Back in the old days, we just drive across the bridge and come right back. That's great. Yeah, that's one of my favorite stories ever of living in the South. And this is kind of a Detroit, Michigan, greater Michigan part. You could go to Canada, buy their beer, and just come back with it. That's it. No one cared. As long as you're not, we're not talking smoking the bandit sort of style.
Oh.
You just go in your little car, whatever. But what a lot of people don't realize, and it's not like this anymore because of sponsorship. When you used to go to a Red Wings game and they had Molson Canadian or Molson this or whatever, that was a Canadian stuff. It was a higher ABV.
Oh.
And it tasted better. Canadians like look down on us that bad that it just doesn't taste the same. So when the Atlanta Thrashers were here, we all went and I said, do you have any imports or craft, whatever I was saying, microbrews, whatever I was saying back then. Yeah. And he goes, well, we've got mostly Canadian. And I was like, it's not the same. He goes, well, so this is from Canada. I'm like, okay. Like, It's, and I went to explain, and my dad's like, "Are we getting beer?" I'm like, "Okay, never mind." So, it's still not as good as the. Hey, when I first moved to Greenville, hey, do you have any? Do you have any imports? Oh no, do you have a Rolling Rock? She's like, "No, we don't have imported beer." What? And she goes, "We got this, this Heineken and bottle." I'm like, "What did you just tell me?" And I'm like, "You don't import shit from Pennsylvania? Like, what are you talking about?" And I immediately went, "I have to move. I have to get out of this place."
Yeah, well, that cracked me up. I did. Who? I got a giant. Did someone. I can't remember if I bought or someone gave me a giant can of Rolling Rock recently. It was like a 22 of Rolling Rock in a can.
Did you drink it?
It was tough. It was a tough drink.
Okay, do you remember? That's all we used to drink.
Yes.
Like, when hanging out with Jay and Wayne, that's all we did was Rolling Rocks. And
I drank a lot of the rock.
That was a crazy, yes, that was a crazy feeling. And this was only a couple months ago. No, I guess. It's so weird. We're at the end of the year. And I know it's been like, it's obviously the strangest one we've had. But it's like I'm already starting to forget about it, and I'm applying things that happened the year before to this year because we've done nothing. So I tried a Rolling Rock the last time I tried it. It was swill. I couldn't believe how bad it was. And my friend's like, "What, are you kidding?" I'm like, "No, I'm being dead serious. I don't want this. I just didn't drink it." I'm like, "No." I'm like, "Do you have anything else? Like Coors Light? I guess I can still manage those."
I can manage a banquet beer. For sure.
I don't think I've ever had that one.
Yeah, I'm still fairly okay. You know, like if we're talking those types of beers, I'd definitely be okay with the Coors Original. If push comes to shove, but not a lot of people have those. And I'm not sure.
That's becoming the Coors Banquet is becoming like Past Blue Ribbon now.
Oh yeah,
because it's cheap. You're like,
yeah,
okay, whatever. But no, I'm trying to think. Coors Light, I can still do. I tried a Blue Moon. That's not good anymore either. What else? There was something else. There's like one other one. Oh, and this is a weird one. Mick Ultra Amber.
Oh,
not Mick Ultra. That's gross. The amber's really good. So, very good. And it's only 80 calories. Ooh. Like, anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're drinking for the wrong reasons.
I would stop drinking.
If,
okay, so I understand people who go out to get fucked up. I get it. Just drink swill, whatever, you know?
Oh.
Well, I want to drink the stuff that's 5% alcohol with 6 calories. Oh, okay, I get it. I understand that. Well, it's like we enjoy the taste of it. And it's not supposed to sound snobby. It's just the reality of it. Like,
well, but that
would...
I guess I always did, to go back to the XXX, that was one of those things, and I'm like, if you drink a higher ABV, you're going to get fucked up quicker. Like, I understand that you're paying... Yeah. You are paying for the higher ABV. Like, and I mean, that's the way it has to be, because they're putting more grain into the beer to make it a higher ABV. So it just costs more to make, period. End of sentence.
Yeah. And most of the high ABV stuff is craft breweries, which it was funny. So we were out with our friends Todd and Becca. You met them, I think.
Yeah.
Anyways, Rebecca's sister was with us, and long story short, she doesn't get out much. So now she is. And she's talking, and she goes, "Well, you know, these guys own breweries. They're all rich anyways." And Elise turns her head, and my head about popped off my shoulders. I'm like, "Are you crazy?" "No. I'll guarantee you they're not. We know some people who own some. They all live in the same house. They're older than we are. So, yeah. Yeah, no. No, it is... So that's like not to get politics pulled up here. That's why it's bullshit. Now, all right, not the bill itself. The $600 for us is fucking ridiculous. It's a slap in the, like, okay, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't know much of what else is in there other than the saver stages, so that music venues are going to get some money finally.
Oh.
And you can go to jail for 10 years if you illegally stream something. What that has to do with COVID? I don't know. That's part of the bill. And then, I don't know, what did they say about unemployment benefits?
Extra $300 for some time period. Which, that whole unemployment thing was pretty crazy. I was glad to be on that as short a time period as I pretty much could be. So.
Yeah, and even what you were telling me, though, it doesn't sound like, it didn't sound beneficial. I guess it was beneficial. Obviously any money coming in is better than no money coming in.
Oh. But yeah, it was not going to cover the bills for pretty much, like, because, I mean, I know people that some of those places for rent, even just now, even out in the suburbs, you're still paying a nice price for it.
Dude, now, we live in the city, so it's a little different, but these new apartment complexes that get built up around us, like for a studio apartment, $1,300, if not $1,500.
Oh,
that's a month.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
And people
you go out if you,
and people are probably in them in no time flat too.
Yes, yes. And then so they're like, all right, so we're going to give you $600 this month. And then if you're on unemployment, I guess was it 300 a week or 300?
I think it's 300 extra. Like, I think because the state actually pays the unemployment, but they gave extra money to the states to disperse to people, at least the first go around. So I'm going to, I haven't read that much about the bill, but I'm going to assume it works in a similar fashion. So, yeah, because I got two separate checks when I was unemployed. Because it was the unemployment check and then the extra money. Because, and that extra money only got me to even of what I was making.
Oh, okay. Well, fortunately it got you to even. But there's a bunch of other people that's still going to come in under, it's going to come in under. And the whole point of it was, owning your own business, like they always say, small business is the backbone of this country. Yeah. Especially knowing a bunch of them now. You realize the hurdles small business has to go through. And in some rights, the outright antagonistic nature of government towards them. It's crazy. I wish we weren't recording this, so I could tell you a bunch of stuff. But it is craziness. What the government does to small business compared to bigger corporations.
Stuff.
I don't know if you turned Home Alone 2 on, but here comes the first part of him trying to kill these men. So,
okay. Yeah, it's on.
Yeah. Okay. This is where he straight up throws bricks at them.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie is, I'm not even trying to be like one of those guys who like looks at an old movie through today's eyes and is like, can you believe they were doing that? Yeah, I totally can. But here's the big problem with the beginning. Like, the beginning of this movie is they're all running around just like they did in the first one. Fine. That's how these sequels work. And then they're talking to Kevin about he's got to get ready for some pageant he's going to be in. Where apparently everyone's got to come, blah, blah, blah. So, during the pageant, Buzz puts his sleeves behind his ears. The whole crowd is laughing at Kevin. Because the whole crowd's full of dickheads. So right there, that is so bizarre. Then Kevin figures it out, gets mad. Look! Bang! And they even show him, like, with a cut on his forehead. Like fucking Sandman. I mean... he threw a brick into a guy's face. That's craziness. Anyways.
Well, and I swear to God, our TV is always behind. I haven't seen a brick yet.
Where are you at?
He's still talking. He's just picking up the first brick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just wait for it. But anyway, so at the beginning of this movie, so Kevin pushes him. All of a sudden, everyone loses their balance in this choir. That's fine. Whatever. Chaos ensues. There's an old lady that's the teacher playing the piano. As everyone falls, they knock into the decorations. The decorations is a giant wood tree, Christmas tree.
Uh-huh.
It falls, hits her in the head. She falls backwards, heels overhead. And she's old. I'm talking near 70 years old. And I told Elise, like, that lady's dead. That lady just got murdered in the first 10 minutes of this movie. It's not even addressed. Like, holy shit, they just blew this over? And then Kevin gets mad, so Buzz has this, like, adult moment where he apologizes. And it's all bullshit, everyone knows it is. And the family's like, oh, Kevin, blah, blah, blah. And Kevin, like, stands up and goes, basically should have stood up and went, fuck y'all. And he goes, I'm not apologizing. But he does say, I'm not apologizing for anything. And I was like, you're goddamn right you're not. So in this case, the kid is absolutely right. And we're supposed to think, oh, he's being mean. No. They never once addressed the fact. Because like Home Alone 1 was on first.
Oh,
they
yeah.
went straight into Home Alone 2. At the end of Home Alone 1, they come home. And they have the big, you know, meeting, blah, blah, blah. His dad finds Joe Pesci's gold tooth. He's like, honey, what's this? Buzz finds out his room's all messed up. And that's how the movie ends. So you think, naturally, they would bring something up in part two. But, well, Kevin, you know, you got to make sure you're on the plane this time. Because all of everything that happened last time. No. Just same shit. Kevin's like, I can take care of myself. You guys go on your trip. I'll do my own thing. And they're like, oh, you're going to regret that. No, I don't think he did. Actually, he's a fucking badass now, and he's still in grade school.
Yeah, he's kind of MacGyver. Oh my god!
Yeah. Yes. And the end of this is so fucking violent. It's great because it's all done for comedy, like three stages. So,
yeah.
But no, like they never once addressed the fact. He had two people trying to burglarize the house at first. And then Joe Pesci said he was going to cut off every one of his fingers and then use a blowtorch on him. That's in the first one. These men were going to kill him. Joe Pesci was. And it never gets addressed. You would think the mom would be so overbearing and protective. And Kevin would be like, don't worry about it, bitch. I got this. It just, I don't know, that just stood out to me. This is the first time I thought about it. Just like, they never talk about, like, the cops having to come there, and the cops in the city don't say anything.
No,
he just goes to New York, causes havoc in New York, gets scared by prostitutes and all that stuff. It was fucking great. The last 30 minutes of the movie is fantastic.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen the first Home Alone
in New York that he's not going to find, like, where he was at least.
I mean, that's another one where I'm not sure I've seen Home Alone since the first time I saw Home Alone.
Home Alone's still a solid movie. And for the time it works, because you don't have cell phones, you don't have the internet, you don't have any of that stuff.
Oh.
It still works.
Yeah.
You treat it like a nostalgia piece, like a Christmas story, basically. And it's just for that time period, okay. Now, of course, it's not exactly like it, but it's like a synopsis of it. And it's really cool. Just like any of the new Christmas movies they make now, we're going to look back in 20 years and go, oh, that's how things were back then, you know? So, but I was just, you know, there's no way they could make a new one of these. With technology, the entire concept of this would never work. Like, he sneaks onto the wrong plane And she goes, just find an empty seat. That would never happen. Are you kidding?
Oh.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a whole lot wrong.
That's really cool.
No.
Yeah, that's why you don't look at it through the I mean, now. Or the movie's just fucking dumb. Like, okay. And they cut out, this is the part, they cut out the 3-second cameo by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's just asinine. Because one, he doesn't even look the same anymore, which is even weirder. But two, it's so minuscule, who cares? And I know the argument, well, so minuscule, why do you care? Because you shouldn't be doing that, first off. You can't change the past because you don't like the present. That's stupid. It's a butterfly effect, too. So.
Yeah, I mean,
anyways,
whatever. I'm sure it would not ruin my viewing at all. That's just silliness if it does.
Yeah, but I mean, if you didn't know it was in here, you'd have no idea. But, like, because Donald Trump was, like, big at the time, I believe. It was the late 90s, or...
Yeah. 80s? No, first one was 89, so that must have at least been 90 or 91.
Oh, wow.
I'm pretty sure that's what 92. I saw.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, 92. All right. Yeah, oh, yeah. I was working at the movie theater for this one. Boy, talk about a shit show of cleaning after. This and the Mighty Ducks 2. What disastrous theaters we had to clean up after that. It's like, everyone, like, asks why movie theaters charge so much for soda and stuff. One, there's obviously economics involved. But two, because kids don't drink anything. They just spill everything. There was a lake of, like, soda or Coke, pop, whatever, at the end. Like, because the old theaters before the, you know, the stadium scene we have now.
Yeah.
Built on an angle. And all that stuff did was just straight down to the bottom where it all pooled up. Popcorn everywhere. In cup holders. I don't get it. Like, I'm not talking like a few kernels or a few popcorn or whatever. Full. Where your cup is supposed to be is filled to the top with popcorn. I don't know if it's any different now. Well, obviously it's different now. No one goes. But I worked in all those service and like I guess it's service industry. I don't know. But I worked in all those industries where it's very easy to loathe people.
Oh.
The grocery store was one, SeaWorld, the movies for sure. Remember Mark's, not off-brand, like discount stores?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to work there.
There's a Mark's up, they're still around. And,
oh, wow.
There's one up by the condo.
Oh.
I went there.
I liked working there.
I went there in a pinch. You know, if we just needed to grab, like, one item, it was, like, just around the corner. It was the easiest place to go.
Yeah, I don't know what the statute of limitations on this is, but, yeah, whenever you see to grab something, Marshall's a great place to go, especially if you work there. Open up that back door, put it behind the building, and when you're off, go and get it. So. But anyways, so beer, but no, like this, the Home Alone stuff's still fun to watch. Macaulay Culkin's a horrible actor, but he gets a little better in the second one. But I mean, Daniel Stern and Joe Pesci are so good in this movie, so. And it's also the only time you're going to get to see Gremlins. They don't play that during the day because everyone, like, Gremlins is considered a Christmas movie now. So they only play it at Christmas time. Well, no. You can play it whenever you want. It's a monster movie. On top of that. So.
I was like, because I was getting, Die Hard has gotten to that point where I'm like, oh my god, if one other person says that it's a fucking Christmas movie, I'm going to murder them. You know.
It does meet the qualifications, though. That's the problem. But overall, it's an action movie.
Well,
yeah,
It's one of those ones where people have now been arguing, similar to my before recording referenced brother. It's one of those things that it's been around, like, I feel like it's been, like, at least a solid 5 years since people started going on the, what's my favorite Christmas movie? Die Hard. And it's just like, guys, like, we've had enough time now. Like, I think it's firmly established now in everyone's mind that it at least meets the qualifications to be a Christmas movie. Like, get off your fucking crusade. Like, it's over. You won. Cool? Okay. Like, if it's still your favorite Christmas movie, okay. But let's move things along here. There's no crusade to be had. You've won.
Yeah.
Fucking.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I remember a long time ago, I made that whole Christmas movie list for the site, and they were all, like off-brand horror movies, or basically almost all horror movies. So, like, Black Christmas, talks about that, that's a Christmas movie. Silent Night, Deadly Night, takes place Christmas Eve night into Christmas Day. Guy dressed like Santa Claus goes around a family trying to get back together so they don't really get killed. I mean, it's like, it's perfect. But, yeah, it's like, the qualifications of that, but it's like, it's the spirit of it. Not.
Oh, yeah, not
like,
when.
Whoever came with the qualifications missed the idea of it. So.
Yeah, I agree with you on that front, too. Like, if I think Christmas movie, I'm not thinking Die Hard. Or, definitely not thinking Gremlins. But isn't that what he gets for Christmas, I guess? Does he get the Mogwai for Christmas?
His dad, okay, look.
Because that's one of the few ones, I do feel like I rewatched it somewhat recently.
Yeah, his dad gets it, he wants to buy it from the shopkeeper. You know, the guy trained as Xia Li and Boa.
Oh.
But then his nephew takes it and sells it to Hoyt Atkins, and then that's why he comes back at the end, because he never, like, kind of like the whole Miz thing, which I think is kind of, I don't mind the story angle of this, but, like, he never sold it to him. His friend did. Well, John Morrison cashed in the money in the bank, not Miz. And I was like, oh, that's fair. All right.
Yeah, like, that's what,
plot point, I'll go with it.
Yeah, that's one of those few positives this week in wrestling.
I mean, if we need to, we can mention a few of the positives. I like the, you know, some of the things I like. The ladder match with McIntyre, AJ, and then Miz, that was really good. I loved the first half. AJ and McIntyre beating the hell out of each other. McIntyre wins, you know, putting air quotes. And then Miz comes in, so they have a whole different match after that. That was cool. I mean, whoever put that together, that's really cool. Roman Kevin Owens was good, but the problem with that match for me was that I never thought Kevin Owens would win. Not in a million years.
Oh.
And then I'm going to be with everyone else, the utter shocker of the night, Carmella and Sasha Banks was very good.
Oh,
I was dumbfounded.
Yeah,
like, Carmella's a good character, but her work wasn't the greatest. She takes a year off and she's better. Like, wow. Okay.
Yeah, my argument had always been that she was starting to get better in ring, but then she turned into R-Truth's sidekick. So everyone kind of forgot that she got better in the ring because she, you know, anytime she did wrestle, then after that, she lost.
That's true. She desperately
needed an image rehab. So I guess I wasn't surprised, but considering that, I mean, you could argue that was the best match of the night if you wanted to. I don't think that's one where it kind of didn't get enough time for me to say that it was the best match of the night. I did kind of like the main event. Hold on. No, not the main event. Holy shit. I did like the match that you mentioned. The main event is worth talking about, though.
Okay, look, I'm an inferno. All right, why was it an inferno match? Because Randy Orton burned his house, burned the shed a long time ago. Like, okay, whatever. But the Fiend's Bray Wyatt stuff was so great in, like, in the outset, but as soon as they made him indestructible, it was like, all right, I don't know where we're going from here. And oh, Jesus Christ, here's the part, bang. And then, listen, the visual of Bray and Randy, like, fighting while Bray, or the Fiend, was on fire, visual alone, that's cool. Now, as it plays out, no, it's just dumb. And then, all right, he gets caught on fire, the match should have been over, they should have had someone run out, put him out, and that's it. And then they can fight some more. Instead, I don't know, I was in and out. All of a sudden, Randy just sets him on fire. He murders him. You know what I mean? Like, what? Now, I know everyone, well, you set a box on fire with a guy in it. You're setting the box on fire. And the guy's obviously never in there. This is a straight up murder. That you threw gas on a guy in the... Wait, by the way. Kendo sticks, 47 chairs, a ladder that has never been used to set up a ring. What else we got under the ring? Gasoline can now? Why the fuck is there a gasoline can out there when the whole thing is gas? Like propane, whatever you want to call it.
Oh.
I know it's wrestling, and you have to let it go sometimes. I'm having a really hard time with WWE letting stuff go now. And this was just, it was safe. I mean, obviously, that wasn't Bray at the end.
Oh.
Because that mannequin lost about 20 pounds in the gut. So, or 30, whatever. But I just went, this is dumb. And if that means it's the end of the Fiend character, I guess. I don't know. But Alexa made it sound like he's going to come back as something different. And I know it's kind of similar to The Undertaker. You know, he always gets burned up, takes a few months off, then comes back. But whatever.
Yeah, it's very soap opera-y of them to kill off a character and then bring him back is a new character. So
I just wonder if it's going to be the Fiend, but like a new version, like Alexa said it was going to be. You know, like did Bray need time off? Like, is that why this had to happen?
Yeah. It's always one of those things that I'm like, I don't know. Like, they're so tight-lipped about any time off for anyone that it just gets to be, you know, that it's just like, okay, whatever. It's one of those ones where I've stopped trying to find out. It's just like, oh, okay, that person just evaporated from TV.
And then, I don't know. They made the Fiend too powerful.
Yeah.
And if this is a way to get rid of him so that he's depowered a little, okay. I guess? I don't know. Just let him be cool. And
just have him, like, I don't know why you can't just have him sell now. Like, it would get to the point where it got normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, if this is what's going to happen. But, well, the way Alexa was talking Monday, I was like, he's going to be even worse now. Like, this isn't good.
Yeah, going from unbeatable to even more unbeatable really isn't a good way to go.
Yeah, unless it means like he just comes back, beats Randy Orton, and that's the end of his revenge tour. Like, wouldn't that have been a more satisfying ending? just having Randy get caught on fire, and then, like, if they're going to phase out the Fiend, the whole story of this is he's getting revenge on everyone who's wronged him. And if I'm going to just say Randy's the last one, then he beats Randy by setting him on fire. Randy gets to go home for Christmas until WrestleMania, where him and Edge can fight if they do that. Or Randy comes back as a different guy, if you want to put it that way. And him and Edge can have their feud, because Edge is like, no, you're still an asshole. The Fiend goes away, and we're just left with Bray Wyatt. You know?
No.
I don't know.
That would be really awkward to just have Bray Wyatt. Like, I like the character, but then you've really got to establish that he can do something in ring at that point, because they've made his matches competitive enough to not have him look like a complete chump, but they need to explain why he can wrestle better now.
Even if it was like a slow descent back into the swamp, Bray Wyatt, like the real Bray Wyatt or whatever, just something. But the idea that he's going to come back and be even stronger, ugh. It's not. I mean, I guess the only other revenge would be Goldberg, but whatever. But no, man, I'm. I just didn't. Like, whatever. I'm not missing anything. Especially because nothing matters. Like, look at Monday. Okay. That's the first time I tried watching Raw live. Or, yeah, just trying to watch Raw. That show is so fucking boring. It is boring. The Ricochet stuff makes no sense. These guys are just beating him. He loses every week. Why do you want that guy in your group?
Yeah. Got no idea. Okay. Got no answer for you either. Because I'm in...
Like, the Hurt Business, they kept telling Cedric, we're just going to keep beating your ass. And he finally woke up like, yeah, they just keep beating me up. Not even, like, losing matches. He was just getting his ass beat. So he turns, joins the group, and then he's winning now. Okay, well, Ricochet's just getting beat clean in the ring. Clean in the ring. Who cares?
I don't know. Like, I mean, you hid unestablished Ricochet for quite some time. Like, he has been on a downward trend for months at this point. Like,
Well, there is that rumor that they tried to re-sign him, and he said no, he was going to leave. Because I guess his contract's up soon. So this is all rumor, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And ever since that story came out, he has not won a match since. Not one match.
It'll be kind of interesting just because... Outside of Jon Moxley, like, the guys that have left the WWE, that's just like, oh, well, they'll have their chance now. They haven't really done a whole lot in AEW. Pac has had a laundry list of problems as to why he hasn't made an impact. Like, couple of them have been injury. Couple of them have obviously been the travel issues between here and there. And now it's injury again.
He's injured?
Oh, no. Oh, that's right. He's not actually injured. I forgot. He came back at the end of the last show.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait a minute. Now, he was on a roll up until then. But we don't have enough time to talk about... As much as I thought Raw was boring and they've got their problems, AEW is not much better. That show, like, especially last week, everyone was like, oh, this is a reestablishing show. You shouldn't have to reestablish yourself if you have one big event. Like, it... So who's the number one contender for the title now? Rich Swann from Impact? Like, what are we doing? Lance Archer all of a sudden is teaming with the Death Triangle? They're all buddies? Huh? I think it's Death Triangle, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Eddie Kingston and the Butcher and Blade are all together with the Bunny, and you're like, okay. Dustin Rhodes is taking out the Dark Order one by one, who doesn't win matches anyways, so what the hell are we even doing? The show is aimless. But yet, it's not WWE, so everyone's like, no, it's good. No, it's not. Storyline-wise, that show is not good. In-ring action, all right. I'll give it an 85, 75, something like that, whatever. But what, like, the big thing this week is what Miro is going to announce. Not Miro.
Yeah.
Kip Sabian and Penelope are going to announce something. So? Like, no one cares about Kip Sabian. Everyone cares about Miro.
But,
and that's a fleeting thing right now, too.
He's another one where I'm just like, man. You know, you're like, oh, great. He's out from under the WWE shackles. Let's see where this goes. And it's just, it has been a resounding kick in the balls. Like, I mean, it's just like, if this is his idea, it's a terrible idea. And if it's someone else's idea, it's a terrible idea. So,
his promos he cuts are always on YouTube. It's not part of the AEW show. He explains himself on the YouTube promos he cuts.
No.
You're like, oh, okay. Like, he's realized that it's not just about wrestling, that you have to be the top person here. You have to get as many clicks. You have to get as many likes. That's all that people care about. So it's kind of like a self-centered thing.
Oh.
And then on Dynamite, he just comes out. Okay. Like, there's so much going on. Like, that one show where they had Brandy sit down with Shaq and all that bullshit, like, that's a waste of time. Oh, get eyes on the product. They seem to be doing okay. So, you know, I know that you can get more, obviously, but no, you've got a roster. Everyone complains about how bloated WWE's roster is. Hey, AEW's is a lot, is nearly as bloated as theirs is.
Oh.
For the amount of people who aren't on shows every week.
Yeah, there are a lot of people not on shows. Because, well, Sean Spears is one that I wasn't really much of a fan of for the most part. But, you know, everyone's like, oh, he's getting out from under the WWE banner. But most of his work's been on Dark or something, you know, less popular even than that in AEW. Like, and I guess that all started off with Ricochet. Like, I wonder if Ricochet, like, I don't know if these guys are all so wounded from what happened in the WWE that they can't get restarted, or if it's just that AEW's also not terribly good at writing, and it's, you know, no one is benefiting because of that.
I'd say, I want to say 50-50, but I think the WWE damage goes a long way to where, like, I have all my ideas. I'm going to do all these ideas because I could never do them. And I think you mentioned this on a show a while ago, that just because you have ideas, you need someone to tell you no. And AEW doesn't have that. As far as I can tell, they don't have that. Like, and I know you mentioned Pac. He's one of their bright spots. I think he's great there. But he was doing that over in Dragon Gate. He was the bastard over there. He was the jerk over there. He just brought it to AEW. This isn't their thing.
Oh.
This is Pac's thing. So, like, the story right now, the biggest story for AEW is that Kenny Omega is going to headline an Impact Wrestling special event on their streaming service with the Good Brothers, basically reforming the Bullet Club, which I can't remember what they're calling them now. And then we got, okay, fuck all after that. Like, Cody's going to be a dad. That has no bearing on anything.
No. That screws up the wife's storyline with Jade Cargill for starters.
That's fine. Good.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah.
But no, it's like as much as we complain about WWE, they've got some stories going. Like some things do cross over each other. Miz trying to weasel back into his Money in the Bank thing.
Yes, that is so pitch perfect for him.
Yeah, but it's like all those people, all of the people in that story are still intertwined. You've got AJ Styles who's not happy with The Miz. Miz trying to weasel his way back in. John Morrison being scared of Omos. What's the big guy's name?
Omos.
Omos, whatever. Yeah. Omos slowly becoming like a video game boss. And then that gets all, and all of those guys are still going after Drew McIntyre, who's trying to keep his two friends apart, who are constantly going at each other. So it's like, okay, all of this is intertwined, and eventually it's going to blow up somehow. Like, Sheamus is going to cost McIntyre a match or the title, maybe? You know, something. Or they pull the wool over eyes and it's Keith Lee that does something shitty, you know, which I would hope not. But at least all those guys are tied together or something. Then you got the Hurt Business tied in with New Day still. And even in there, you have Cedric Alexander doing like a rock thing. Just talking over everything. Whenever he steals the tags, he won't let Shelton talk. He's always talking about how he did this, he did this.
Yeah.
Lashley, who, quite honestly, if it wasn't for Drew McIntyre, should be the WWE champion.
Cedric should be the WWE champion if it wasn't Drew?
No, Lashley.
Oh, Lashley. Okay, yeah, no, the Cedric thing cracked me up extra this week just because, like, even on Monday, he almost seemed to rub MVP the wrong way with something that he said, and I'm just like, oh, this is kind of interesting. Like, it's the most interesting thing they've done with the tag teams in a while, like, because, yeah, they're not quarreling partners, but you can definitely see that I guess the only thing it can come close to is Bayley and Sasha starting to have their problems when they were tag team champions. But that feud had been longer running, longer simmering than even that, though, I think. So.
Yeah, but I enjoy the Hurt Business quite a bit. I don't like their backstage segments. I think they're stupid. I think it's actually degrades their star power and the dumbass skits they have. Like, just bullying somebody backstage.
Oh. Like,
but MVP being sick of Matt Riddle shit is pretty funny. I'm sorry, Riddle. That's kind of funny. Jeff Hardy looks like he's just like, I'm done. He didn't look good at all Monday.
Oh.
And I don't know if it's because he's in the ring with younger guys. Well, I guess not younger, but more athletic guys. But he looked out of place. So, and so did MVP, by the way. He did not look good Monday either.
Oh.
But I don't know if that was Jeff's fault or not. So.
No, MVP just hasn't generally looked good in there. Chris and I have both been on the record of, like, the less MVP wrestles, the better.
And I think that's fair. I think he makes a good spokesman, and that's all he should be. I mean, if obviously it's his decision to wrestle, but I think it comes off, it makes the group look a lot better. But the reason I said Lashley should be champion is it just seems like this is a pseudo four horsemen group, but they're not allowed to have the top title. And like, if you really want them to be legit, just put that, scrap that onto them. Right now is the perfect time.
Oh.
Fans, who cares? No one's watching. Shit, the ratings are garbage. Take some goddamn chances already. And no, I don't mean put Dana Brooke on TV. Can we please stop with this? Give Dana Brooke a chance. No, she's got plenty of chances. That's enough.
You don't like the sexy muscle everyone friends?
No, I'm good. Shayna should just go straight up and be like, I'm done with you bitches. I'm out of here. Nia Jax still sucks. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen where she becomes viable. So, no.
Hey, yeah, she's kind of in a weird spot. Character-wise, they haven't gotten along the whole time, so them losing really should be the reason they break up instead of continuing to go after the tag titles.
Yeah. As Elise says, oh, because she's fat, she's supposed to be tough. I'm like, in WWE logic, yes. That's how it works.
Oh.
And that's followed by a long line of overweight people telling us they're tough because they are. And I was like, whatever. Listen, King Kong Bundy? He looked scary. You, as an adult, you look and go, yeah, whatever. So.
Yeah. He should not have been scary to another adult.
No. But as for kids, yeah.
Yeah. But,
no, I'm trying to think, what else was even on Raw? I don't even remember.
I think we did a pretty decent job of covering. I didn't even pull up a review after we started talking and carrying through with the beer stuff.
Okay, so if that's the case, that show stinks.
we hit the main points, though. I mean, we were trying to be positive, and I'm just going to say that I feel like, the Miz stuff was... well covered. We covered the McIntyre stuff, AJ Styles, Bobby Lashley. Yeah, man. The only other thing I guess worth talking about is, since we did talk about the women there, and we did not talk about the returning Charlotte Flair.
Her coming back, cool, whatever. Charlotte's good. The bigger thing I took from this is she looks different.
Oh.
She looks like she wasn't fat to begin with. Don't, it's not what I'm saying. She looks athletic again. She had bulked up, like muscle wise, even around like the torso. She was just bulkier.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she was just lifting massive weights or I know she has some health stuff, so maybe that was part of it. Well, obviously. Two other things were much smaller now. But her face looked better. I'm trying not to sound like I'm skeezing. She just looked better. And if that's what it takes for people to get healthier again, because she was gone in, what, was it August? No. July? June?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost, it's been 4 to 5 months, I'd say.
So if that's what it takes, goddamn, give everybody that time off. Seth Rollins should look fantastic when he comes back.
Oh.
You know, and I don't mean like, obviously physically they're going to look better, but they're going to look healthier. That's what Charlotte looked like. She looked healthier. Oh, we forgot Hector Garza and somebody. Yeah, so there's that.
But, yeah, we didn't.
I was happy to see her back.
We didn't forget him. We didn't forget Jackson Ryker either. We can just, keep on moving along. We were trying to be positive, so I figured that was a good...
We've talked about this before. This is an ongoing thing. What does anybody see in him? I'm being dead. I mean, this is not a snarky thing. What do you see in him? He's a big guy. Who cares?
Yeah. He's a big... That's the biggest selling point. And the problem with him being a big guy is that you have a lot of other guys who are bigger than him.
Yes.
A lot.
He's a big dude who Elias looked just as big as he did. And no one ever says Elias is a big dude.
Oh.
But he clearly is.
That is a fair point.
Yeah. But I mean, even going all the way back to TNA, when he was Gunner, I remember, oh my gosh, he's gonna be a big star. I'm like, I don't understand what the fuck you're talking about. He's just a guy.
I thought at that point he would be able to learn something. At this point, if you haven't really developed into a good wrestler, I'm pretty sure that ship has sailed. Because, I mean, he's another guy who wasn't exactly young when he started. So, you know, it's been more than a minute since he's been in TNA. Yeah. Or Impact, whatever it was when he left it.
I don't know.
And they still don't really, you know, like, even the WWE doesn't really trust him in the ring. Like, he had a squash match, whatever.
Who did he wrestle? Oh, that's right, he wrestled Monday, didn't he?
Yeah. Grand Metalik.
Yeah, which, okay, by the way, Shahid always talks about optics. Not that I agree with him all the time. But if you had a guy that got on Twitter and was openly praising a president who's building a wall in between something that, like, one country to another, constantly referring to Mexicans as whatever, like, just, you know, this is the guy that's backing, like tweeting out his support and tweeting out that he agrees with all this stuff, all right? It doesn't matter where you sit. If somebody is doing something, the gross majority of people, as it seems, were very much against. Why the hell are you putting him in the ring against a Mexican dude and then beating his ass? Like, isn't there another white guy, just for right now? You know, do we need a Jackson Ryker match? Was he going to go after Lince Dorado next? I was trying to think what other Mexican wrestlers they have, but
I can't remember if it was Lince on the outside or if it was Kalisto.
No, Kalisto's on SmackDown.
Oh, okay. So then it must have been Lince Dorado who was on the outside.
Yeah, Lince Dorado from Puerto Rico, even though during the whole 205 tournament, they said that he was from Brooklyn, New York. Funny how that works. Anyways, I guess Andrade and Hector Garza? Is Garza Mexican? Or is he Dominican?
I'm not completely sure.
Okay, anyways. But it's like, just be smarter next time. That's all. And not that anyone, honestly, and that's just putting too much stock in how much people actually give a shit about Jackson Ryker. So.
Oh. Yeah, that's why I was.
You know, it's like, oh my god, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, was completely ready to skip that one. I would have been completely fine with that.
Well, I'm trying to be comprehensive since we didn't talk about wrestling. I don't know how long we've been going.
We're close to about making it a 50-50 show at this point.
Oh shit. Okay. On a positive note, have you found ROH at all?
Yes.
All right. The environment obviously is stale. They need to. I'm not a huge fan of like the ridiculous audio sweetener, but a little bit of audio sweetener does help. Uh-huh. If they did that, their show's pretty enjoyable.
Even
Rick Abani's hair is a travesty. But, dude, have you seen it?
I haven't paid that much attention.
Oh, no. You did not see it. You don't have to pay attention to it. The second you see it, you're like, oh my god, what's he doing? So, I won't ruin it for you.
Okay, but, well, I'll pay better attention to the show next week.
Video packages are good. It's lit really well. They're sticking to their rules. The best thing is the pure tournament and the pure title and the pure tag team match. Pure tag team match is a little weird, but
yeah.
I love the fact that you have rules that have to be followed. And I love the one, if you interfere, you are fired. That's great.
Yeah.
Because one, it makes sure no one interferes. Two, if they're creative, they can come up with a way where someone interferes but doesn't, gets fired, and then they can have a whole storyline about, like, no, you're wrong. And it's like, you know, have some backstage thing. him fighting management, or her, for that matter.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm kind of tired of some of the people you see. What are you going to do? Because, yeah, it's with so much competition, now it's hard.
But oh.
I found myself enjoying the show, which I can't say I did before the shutdown.
Yeah, it's one that I've definitely kept up with a lot, just because I find it easy just to watch an hour of programming. I think it's part of it. You know, it's just it's an hour. B, you cut out the commercials, we're talking maybe 40 minutes. So it really makes for an easy watch. But yeah, this reset has been, like you said, outside of the stale environment part, them sticking to rules is just, that's one of those things that kills me with AEW. Just because, you know, just, what's their names? With Tully Blanchard, why am I blanking on their names?
FTR.
Oh, we stick to the rules. Tag team wrestling for the rules. And honestly, the second that they're off TV without the belts, the Young Bucks are just... It's pretty much a... It's not even a tornado tag team match. It's basically a four-person match.
Yeah.
And I'm
I wouldn't mind if they did Lucha rules. If you're going to have chaos, just make them Lucha rules.
Oh.
If your partner goes to the outside and hits the floor, you get to come in. Just do it that way.
It's just needs to be established that way. And they have a lot of teams that function well in that environment. Obviously, the Bucks do. Pentagon and Phoenix do. Santana and Ortiz also. So there are a lot of people that could benefit from that, but they don't ever mention it. So yeah, like ROH having it, and then they even had this past week, they just had a couple of regular style matches, and it made, you know, it did even make for a visual difference in that, because you go from no one punching, because most people aren't even taking advantage of the one punch that often. Some of the guys are, but for the most part, I feel like they've steered away from that angle. So, it kind of establishes a nice boundary between the regular matches and the pure matches, and to have them on the same show, it is a nice little change of pace to have within the show.
I will say this week's tag team pure tag team match got a little confusing, to be honest. Like, well, you got this going on and this, and I'm like, okay, it's easier to keep up with one guy, or two guys, I should say. So, I don't know if tag team's a way to go with pure, but I don't know. The one bright spot this week that cracked me up, I was watching, it was the first hour of Final Battle, I think. It was on YouTube. And Jay Briscoe's match with EC3 got canceled because EC3 is getting over COVID. So he goes talk, and Mark's been cutting these promos about how Jay's like a hard-headed, selfish. So it's just in the Briscoe fashion. So it's obviously funny because those are fucking psychos. Well, so Jay comes up. He's like, "Hey, Hoss, match is off. I'm in." He goes, "What made you in? I'm in, bro. Let's do this." He's like, "Man, you missed the boat." And he goes, "Hard-headed son of a bitch. Told you. Now, if you don't mind, I got to get me with my partner." He just shuts the door on him. But it's like these two weird-looking mushmouths doing this stuff. You're like, I totally buy into this.
Oh.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I see this. I hear this. This is what happens. Oh, okay. And Jay's like, motherfucker. Like, he's mad, but... And then somebody else wants to fight him. I can't remember who it was. But it was like, I automatically bought into that. And then they had this big package with Taven and the Kingdom falling apart. And then Vincent, and I can't remember the other guy. Vincent?
Bateman. Anyway.
Yeah, Bateman, and who's the other guy? God damn.
Michael Bennett?
Well, Bennett coming back, but then there's the other guy, the Rob Zombie-looking guy.
Oh, oh my God. What did I think? That's Vincent.
Okay, all right. Ah, it's kind of wrong. All right,
but yeah, and Bateman has the mustache. Stuff.
That's right. He's like kind of a Marty Scurll looking kind of guy.
Yeah.
In a way. But yeah, so there was like a good video package about that. Now, I did not like the fact that Vincent and Michael Bennett had a match already, and Vincent basically was beating his ass. Like, that's a pretty horrible way of coming back. But, again, they established who they were. They established what was going on, and they established this is what's going to happen. And it wasn't full of bullshit. They're fighting all over the place. ROH management got tired of it. Like, you guys fight it out. This is the last time you're fighting. Simple. Simplicity. There's nothing wrong with it. And that's a positive with what they're doing. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I can't believe, like, that's the most I've ever talked about ROH on the show, at least in the last year or two.
Yeah, I mean, they...
Outside of Rick and Bonnie's hair, that sounds...
They've actually done a good job of using this as a nice reset for themselves. Like, they did a little bit of soul searching and said, hey, some things need to change here. We kind of lost our way. And, yeah, it's working out quite nicely for them.
And hopefully this turns into some success. You know, let that action, like, that's what ROH used to be. Yes, there were storylines, but it was based off of action. And then it slowly went into, like, some storylines. Cool, you got to. And then it just became ridiculous. And every match was the same. So as long as they can avoid that, I think they're going to be a pretty good shot. I mean, they got a giant media company backing them. They got money out the ass.
Yeah.
So there's no reason when people, like, we're talking about Ricochet leaving. Not a bad idea. Impact, like, I know it sounds stupid. Impact and ROH have money behind them. They have a lot of money. Anthem bought a whole network just to show their show. I know it's Access TV, but goddamn, they bought a network.
Oh, right.
So they got money. So AEW doesn't have to be the end all. Oh, gotta go there. Gotta go to Japan. And if you go to Impact, you can work with Japan. So,
oh right,
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens if that rumor is true. I will be interested. It will be fun watching out.
Yeah, but I think with the money that could be out there, with TV going all over right now, TV is king. I know there's social media. I know there's YouTube. There's this and this. TV is king. Like, getting your video, whatever, out there. If you can find a company that has money that's willing to pay, man, wrestlers are in a good spot right now.
Oh, right.
A lot of WWE guys are coming up, too. I think Riddle comes up next year. I think August of next year is when his contract runs out. So, another interesting one.
Yeah, well, he doesn't really have reason to leave. And for some reason, why did I feel like I saw that he just got an extension recently?
Oh, I didn't. That I didn't see. If true, I didn't see that. So.
Yeah, but I'm not completely positive on that. I don't
think he'd want to leave, especially with the way they backed him through all this. What was his? All the allegations. That's what I was looking for. Allegations against him.
Yeah.
And how they've helped. They've provided lawyers, all that stuff. I'm not saying you have to be loyal, okay? But I'm saying they're doing you a solid by doing all this because they don't have to. Technically, you're an independent contractor. They'd be like, hey, figure this out on your own, fucko. You're the one that caused this. So, but there's, AEW is not the end all be all. I think that's a dumb way of thinking. I know they get a bigger presence because of their network. Outside of that, there's no reason right now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I automatically went there with Ricochet, and maybe he would be and probably would be better off at one of the other companies.
Yeah.
So.
Just like EC3, he was in Impact for 3 months. His entire reason for being there was to get Moose over and make Moose a more legitimate wrestler and champion, and he did. Because Moose is like the coolest shit on there now. when he's changed around, he's like carrying the TNA title, which is hilarious.
Oh, he's that's funny. The
real world title. Dude, the history that the TNA title has, and Moose, with absolutely no sarcasm, irony, cynicism, none of that. He says, this is the biggest title, and you kind of go, oh, man, okay. Instead of laughing about it, you go, okay, all right, well. Then he backs it up. Like, character-wise, backs it up. So.
Okay. I saw that for 1 week and was just confused, and he looked sullen and beaten down, and I did not really get into it at all.
Yeah, so it takes a lot of backstory, which we're just not going to do. So, but
gotcha.
Yeah.
So. Fair enough. Okay, we've made it past the 50-50 mark. So, my beer happens to be, tonight, Wolf's Ridge Fury Brand, which was the aforementioned 6.8% Berliner Weiss. It is, black cherry, vanilla, and, black currant. Very tasty combination. I do like me some cherry and, currant. So it's a pretty sucker win for me.
Yeah, mine was Edmazos Brewing's out of Charleston, sour apple, and I was telling you before, if you get a chance to go to Charleston and you like sours, you have to go there. So they still have one of the greatest ones I've ever had, which they didn't can. Pisses me off. So it's not even worth mentioning which one it was, but it was fantastic. So
okie dokie. Yep. At DeFrango 11, at Granny Maze, brand is that stunt granny. Rate and review us on all the places. And have a good night.
Later, guys.